We worship who you are. Your love, your grace, your mercy. It knows no bounds. It's limitless. Father, that we would know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of your love. Cleanse us, Father. Let us have hearts like you. Oh, Jesus. We thank you for your blood. Just begin to worship him out of a grateful heart tonight. What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? What are you thanking him for? He's done so much for us. Jesus, we thank you that your blood cleanses us. It washes us clean. Everything was nailed to the cross. There's no judgment that stands against us when we're in Christ. We worship you tonight. We thank you, Father. You are mighty, and your children shall do mighty exploits. They will do mighty things in you, through you. Father, as we come closer, as we draw nigh to you, we know that you draw nigh to us. Lord, we desire to just embrace who you are. Abba, Father, our King and our Lord, the one that we yield to, the one that we surrender our lives to. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us, but you always beckoned to us. You always called us out of darkness and into your glorious light. We thank you, Jesus. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Ki bro shomba ma sandi koro shoto. Brahma ma sandi koro shoto. Even those, if you've only said a couple syllables before in the past, just begin to step out in faith. Just begin to take hold of what he's given to you in the Holy Spirit. Do it in faith, just like salvation. You do it through faith. You do it through faith. It's him giving you the ability. So just begin to speak it out right now. Shambaki shotororo brasata kara shandi. Bro baba shandiroro mroko shondo. Bra baba shandi sondo. Korororo brasanda kara shandi. Korororo brasata rara brasandi. Korororo. Just stir it up, stir it up, stir it up in the Holy Ghost. Bro shoma mama sandiro koro. Kishanda ha sandi koro bro shoto. Bro baba shandi kono shondo. Bramba mashati roro bobo kumbra sandi roro. Oh Lord, come dwell in the praises of your people. Come settle in this place, I pray. Let your presence come upon your people. Brakashanda rambra sandi. Broba shandi roro bra kara shandi. Kororo bra sanda kara shando. Kororo bra sandi rara shandi. Our desire is for you, Lord. Our heart is for you, Lord. Bro koba shambana sanda nanana. Kumbra sandi roro bra shandi koro shando. Kirana shandi roro bra sanda. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. There is none like you. Jesus, 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 we speak your name. Jesus, I speak your name over every life here. Jesus, it's Jesus that cuts through every bondage. It's Jesus that breaks us out of every hard place. It's Jesus that cleanses. It's Jesus that brings us into righteousness. It's Jesus that gives us the ability to love. It's Jesus that gives us the power to live like him. Jesus. Lord, we are your vessels tonight. Do through us what you will. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Some of you are just experiencing him tonight. You're just experiencing his presence. That's him. Whether it's you're experiencing his love, his peace, his goodness, whether he's just unveiling another aspect of who he is, just revel in that tonight. Get used to his nature.
Worship you, O God. My heart wants to convey the love I have for you in the simple words I pray. Let everything that is within me, let it bless your holy name. I worship you, O God. That's all I long to say. I worship you, O God. My heart wants to convey the love I have for you in the simple words I pray. Let everything that is within me, let it bless your holy name. I worship you, O God. That's all I long to say. Oh, sing, I worship you. I worship you, oh God. My heart wants to convey the love I have for you. The love I have for you. In the simple words I pray. In the simple words I pray. Let everything that is within me, let it bless your holy name. I worship you, oh God. That's all I want to sing.
I want to sing that one more time with everything. I worship you, oh God.
I worship you, oh God.
I worship you, oh God.
Heart wants to convey the love I have for you, the love I have for you.
In the simple words I pray,
in the simple words I pray.
Everything that's within me say,
let everything that is within me, let it bless your holy. I worship you, oh God. That's all I long to say.
Sing that everything that is within me.
Yeah, let everything that is within me, let it bless your holy name. I worship you, oh God. That's all I want to say.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. You are so wonderful. Lord, we bless you. Our hearts are ready, Father, ready to receive your word, ready to hear, Father, what you would speak to each one of us tonight. We thank you for your love towards us, your goodness.
Yes.
There's no turning shadow within you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you, Father, for choosing us, for loving us. Father, that we would give everything back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just give somebody a hug before you sit down. Let them know that you're glad that they're here tonight. Tell them to get ready to receive from the Lord.
Hey family, welcome to King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. We're so glad you joined us today. Here's what's going on at King's.
Join us on Wednesday nights for our evening service, starting at 7 p.m. We also have our Purpose Youth Group and Elementary Bible Club as well. So bring your kids and family. We love to have you with us.
Hey guys, do you want to be involved in a life group? Then check out kcwestvirginia.com to see the life groups we got going on.
Join us for early morning prayer Monday through Friday at 6 and 8 a.m., Saturdays at 8 a.m., and don't forget about revival prayer Sunday in the sanctuary starting at 7:30 a.m.
If you are new or have never filled out a Connect card, scan the QR code on the screen or raise your hand and an usher will get you a card to fill out. Just drop it in the offering bucket because we would love to connect with you. That's what's going on at King's. For more information, stop at our Connect booth, visit kcwestvirginia.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Why? Because we love you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We had a wonderful summer night on Sunday night. We had quite a few people down there, quite a few visitors that's not normally in church, the opportunity to minister to some folks. So that was good. And everybody, you know, pitched in and helped with food, and it was a good time, a lot of laughs and just enjoyment. But we're getting ready to take up the evening, Wednesday evening tithe and offering. So if you need an offering slip, your ushers are right there to help you out. And we have figured up, we shared with the team last evening that with pledges that have come in and everything, we are right a little over the mark for the $4,000 a month that we are committed to paying off the property. Obviously, we want to do it quicker, but that's where we're at right now. So we're just letting you know that we are at that mark, which is good. So that's awesome. Praise God. And of course, that's not and if you do not have one of those pamphlets, the ushers have one, just give them a little wave and they'll get one of those to you. It explains about Project Freedom and the Daily Seed. Same. It's one and the same. But all of the phases and how to give and why to give and why are we moving from this building, all of those things. So that's in the pamphlet, and you can grab one of those if you don't have one yet. But we really appreciate everybody just coming on board, so excited, moving forward, and what we are getting ready to do in the next phase of this church. So continue to pray that God is bringing in the resources. I've been praying for tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands coming in. So we're praying that other people, even outside the church, see the vision and want to give into that. So it's a wonderful thing. But if you want to give this evening, if you want to give the Daily Seed, you can do that. If you are giving your regular tithe and offering, you can do that as well. You can make checks payable to KC. You can text to give. You can text KC Fairmont at 77977. You can give by credit or debit. So, and as you're filling that out, I'll give you a second. All right, you're done. All right, let's pray. I said 1 second, right? All right, let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get behind the vision of your house. And Lord, that you've called each and every one of us to this specific place, to Marion County, to the surrounding communities and the surrounding counties. And we thank you, Lord, that this region is going to be rocked and shaked for you, Father. So we declare, even over the colleges, the education system, the schools, Father, over every person's life, businesses that are being raised up for your purpose and for your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you're raising people up to have influence in every mountain of society in this place. Lord, raise them up, I pray. Give them that burden and that desire to reach those that they're around. And Lord, that there would just be a mighty shaking through kings all across the nation. But Lord, we pray specifically over this area. Let us be shaken so we can shake others for your kingdom and for your glory. We thank you so much for your presence, for your word, for you are always true and faithful. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. I'm just taking a moment. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing. I don't need to apologize, but Stephen, go back there and get that chair in the back for me, if you would, please. I think there's one back there. Is there one back there? Okay. Yeah, I think there's one in the. I didn't see where he went. I'm sorry. I have to sit down for a second. I can honestly, I can't stand right now. So, thank you. He'll come back with a chair. He probably went to Walmart and picked it up. So, you can let him know if you find him. He's throughout the building, maybe. So, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You know, as Pastor Brandon was talking tonight just about the place of entering in, sometimes it's, you know, it's what God does. It's not what you can manufacture in your own life. It's what God can do with you. And, you know, and just, I don't know how to put it into words, but there are times and moments in my own personal life where I felt the glory of God. And the glory of God is like a weight on me, and I can't even, because I thought I was going to fall down three or four times, and I find myself in a whole nother place sometimes, and I can't, to be honest with you, it's not that I've been there many, many times, but the times that I have felt the very glory or the weight of God, you know, it's not that he's going to kill me. I mean, it almost at points can feel like there's a weightiness about it that I can't explain. It's just, you know, my feet shake, my knees buckle. I close my eyes and open my eyes, and I'm standing in another direction. I don't even know how I was standing in that direction. But I say all that to say this is that the Lord will inhabit the praises of his people. He will come into a place with you, and he will get in a. John, come here. Just come here. I'm gonna pray for your eyes. Father, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I thank you for perfect vision in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Better than even perfect, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, heal his eyes now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can stand there as long as you need to or whatever, brother. But the glory of the Lord is it's not something you just feel, it's something that you experience. And I'm gonna tell you tonight that you can experience. You can move into a place where you experience Jesus. If I were to be honest with you tonight, it's not like I walked in here tonight, you know, hungering for the glory of God but it's at that moment you think, well, he's a pastor. Yeah, I'm prepping. I'm getting ready. I'm coming. I'm ready to preach, but there's a real place that you can come into with the Lord where he will actually visit you and you know, even tonight as we entered into that place of worship, you know, what I felt, and I sometimes people feel different things, was the glory or the presence of the Lord just coming upon me, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It's very real. God's glory is very real. And you know, I think about Moses, and I think about Moses and how you know, Elijah, and I think about the moment, the burning bush, and, you know, that the Lord told him to, you know, take off your sandals, for where you're standing, it's holy, there's holy ground. You see that with the king, Melchizedek, when Joshua took off his sandals, you know, or, you know, he was standing before him, and it was a type of Christ, and, you know, Elijah in the cleft of the rock, you know, come into the presence of God. These are very real moments and very, very real experiences. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. You guys with me this evening? Yes. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. And if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives just as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation, the revelation of John that he has, Father, about the Christ, about Jesus. Just how important it is that, you know, Lord, that we not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, Father. And Lord, that, you know, this revelation, even through 1 John, Father, that, you know, how important it is to love the Lord God with all your heart, to love your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, how important it is that, you know, that we don't walk in darkness, but that we walk in light. Father, that we would be a church walking in light, that we would deviate away from the light. But Lord, I pray, Lord, even tonight, Lord, as this word's preached, I pray, Father, for just revelation. Open the hearts of people. Open the ears. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, you know, throughout these next 6 months, give this church great vision. And to continually just be walking in that vision, Father, that you've called us into. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Give us vision around this word tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, 1 John chapter 2, I preached out of this text over the weekend. And it kind of has just sent me into a spiral from our men's meeting when we were reading John 13, 14, 15. I don't even know where we stopped. I think we stopped at 15. But just kind of have been meditating a lot on John, his writings. I've been through 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and back through John, and just reading and meditating upon it. And I'm kind of going back ahead here. But it's interesting because when you begin to see the word and you begin to see what John's saying, you know, he says something very specific here. He says that if you follow my commandments. That if you follow my commandments. Now, I know last week we had talked about, you know, the two commandments that were given to, you know, John talked about, that if we not walk in darkness, the two things that we're to do, we're to love the Lord God with all our heart, right, and mind, our soul. We're to love God, but we're also to love our brothers. Amen. That if we say that, you know, if we say that we love our brothers and we don't, we in return walk in darkness. And so, but I want to show you something out of this passage tonight, because it's important that if we claim to know God but not obey his commandments, we're not walking with God. So it's important to understand that there are certain things that we have to do as Christians and as believers to obey God. He's given us commandments. Two things that I just mentioned, to love the Lord your God, right? But also to love your brother and sister in Christ, amen? And to love your neighbor. You know, Jesus, even here, you know, he says this, is if you would love me, you would obey my commandments. You know, I think about when I was younger as a child. I don't know if anybody had a parent that was, you know, maybe your room was messy or maybe your parents had you do chores. Did anybody have to do chores growing up as a kid? You'd have to do certain things. And, you know, I remember my mom at one point, and I heard Pastor Josh tell this story. It was really interesting because I remember the same story from my mother. And, you know, my mom had asked me to do some stuff, and I was like, yeah, Mom, I'll get it done. I'll get it done. I'll get to it. I'll get it done. And later that night, I left, and guess what? I didn't get my chores done. And I did, and my mom went into my room, and my room was a disaster. I don't know if anybody had clean rooms. My room wasn't very clean. I had stuff all over the place, generally laundry. My wife, God bless you. I mean, I'm much, much better now than I was when I was maybe 14 or 15. And I remember my mom saying, you know, son, you need to obey what I've asked you to do. And one of the ways that you show me that you love me is doing what I ask you to do. It's the very same thing that Jesus is saying here, is that if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll obey my commandments. You know, it goes beyond that, because I want you to see that in this text, it's important that you understand that how do we get to know God's commandments? How do we get to know what the Word of God says and what it is for each and every one of us? It's all around fellowship. It's learning. You know that when you got saved, you know, you begin a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, and what I love about that is that, you know, that whatever you put into that relationship ultimately is what you can get out of it, or what you can take away from that. You know, I liken to think, even in my marriage, you know, it was, you know, when Moran and I got married, it was, you know, we were in fellowship. And, you know, do you start a relationship not knowing anything about the person? Yeah, you don't know a lot. But how do you get to know that person? How do you learn about them? Well, you spend time with them. So that's how we begin to learn. You know, I learned things about my wife that I didn't know. You know, we went to the same high school, but we never bumped into each other. It wasn't, you know, I was a senior, she was a freshman. I know, you know, she's younger than me, so praise God. You know, she's beautiful, though. She's still 36, hasn't aged a day since 36. Praise Jesus. So I'm gonna get my brownie points for the night. So, but how do we learn about how do we come into to understanding what God's commandments, except through fellowship? How do we learn about God? You know, the Bible says this. It says faith comes by hearing, right? And we say that a lot in here. But how important it is that we hear. You know, faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we understand that we grow our relationship through the hearing of God. Now, I would say that's one of the things that I didn't start out when I first got saved. I didn't start out reading a lot, but I went to meetings. I went to places to where I could hear the Word of God. I would hear an evangelist, or we were blessed with a great pastor, and you know, he was, I mean, he was just, a, he was very anointed, he was very evangelistic, he was very prophetic, and so, you know, you would leave a service feeling like your spirit man got preached to, that you felt something when you left the service. Yeah, I remember many times, I would would tell people to take notes, because I do that a lot now, and I'll take notes when anybody preaches now. And, you know, I just didn't take notes then. I just would sit in church. And I remember at times when I would go home with Miranda's mom and dad, and one of the things that, you know, Shirley would ask, well, what'd you get out of the service? I was, I don't know. I don't know if it's good. I don't know really what I got out of it, but I felt something. And it was because what was happening was the spirit of me was getting built up, you know. And there were things that, yeah, of course, that I could remember. But I wasn't real familiar with the Word. I wasn't. But the next thing I would say that how we learn about Christ, you know, it is about the hearing. It's being in a place where you're cultivating and listening to the Word of God, listening to podcasts, growing your faith in that way. But beyond that, how we know God and how we know God's ultimate plan for our life in fellowship is through the Word. You know, it's through the Word of God. So we can never forgo the Word. You know, the Bible says that He watches over His Word. You hear that a lot, that He's watching over His Word to, you know, to see that it's performed. Who are the ones performing God's Word? You and I. It's us. We're the ones that perform God's Word. You know, praying for John's eyes tonight. No angel. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. No angel came down here tonight and touched John's eyes. Now, but that He would use a vessel. Amen. So it's not only through the hearing of the Word that we're activated in our fellowship. It's also through the activation. That we can know God. Amen. I want to get up and walk. I just don't know if I'll fall. So I know that we can not only through the reading and hearing of the Word of God, but it's also in the activation. It's activating the Word in our life. You know, James 1:22 says, "Be ye a doer of my word, not just a hearer, but be a doer. Be a doer of my do what my word tells you to do." And so that's how we get online with God and following His commandments. You know, And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. Amen. You know, I'll say this because, you know, ultimately, man, there's times, you know, I'll be transparent tonight, there's times where, you know, even obeying things with where the Lord told me to pray for someone or the Lord's asked me to do for something where I've missed it. Amen. I don't know if, you don't have to amen that because that's not really an amen moment, But you know, where I missed it, and I was like, man, Lord, I missed it. And then the Lord would afford another opportunity. And then I would seize that opportunity. And then there was a moment or a time again where I missed it. And it was like, it was just that my heart would be melted to His heart to always be in that place of just, you know, Lord, what do You want me to do? You know, of course, He wants us to follow His commandments. But He also wants, you know, can I tell you tonight, though, God's speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking to the body. He's speaking to the church. He's releasing things on earth right now that I don't think we've ever encountered or witnessed. I mean, there's testimonies of people in the Middle East that are actually having physical encounters with Jesus Christ. Physical encounters with Jesus Christ. That, you know, I say this because this thing is ramping up, amen. That, you know, these things, the signs, the wonders, the things that are being produced on earth, they're happening right now, amen. That we could be a part of this, that you and I could be a part of this. Well, Pastor, you know, that's in the Middle East. That you could be a part of it right here in Fairmont, West Virginia, amen. That you could be a part of it right here in Fairmont, West Virginia. Praise God. You see, the proof, the evidence of the relationship is ultimately in your obedience. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So we understand that, you know, there are sacrifices, you know, everybody in here has made. You know, maybe you made a sacrifice to even get here on a Wednesday night because you had stuff come up or things were happening or whatever that you had to make a sacrifice or you had to do that. So, but the Bible says this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. So it's important that we remain faithful to God through our obedience. Amen. We remain faithful to God through our obedience. You know, I want to cover through a few things through this passage of Scripture. And, you know, I want to say this because I'm personally, the older I get, and I'm not old, I don't consider myself to be old, but the longer that I've been in ministry, I was on the phone with a good brother today and praying with him and, you know, just his ministry and things that are, in the minute, you know, he's doing and some stuff. And, you know, personally, I just, you know, we laugh a lot of times and our conversations just end in the way of, how much we're thankful for everything God's done. You know, that he said, you know, the Lord give me, he shared a testimony with me today. He said, you know, the Lord, you know, 13 years ago, give me the foresight to buy this house. And he said, I didn't. He said, I bought it because I felt like that's what the Lord was saying. But he said the natural side of me was like, I'm not going to live here very long. I'm going to be moved. I'm not going to live here very long. And now coming out of the missions field, you know, 13 years later, he has a house to go to, and he's very excited that he, you know, he had the wisdom and the fortitude and the foresight to see everything that the Lord had showed him to do, you know, after being in the missions field in Alaska for 13 years in many, many villages, praise God. So, but, you know, it's just simply amazing, you know, just the personal testimonies we all have. We have personal testimonies. You know, people in this house, you have personal testimonies of the goodness of God. What God's done in your life. The good things God's done in your life. Yeah, right? I mean, we've got personal testimonies of the good things God's done in our life. And I tell you, you know, sometimes that's where, you know, after talking with him today, you know,
You know, there's always stuff you're working through. But I go back to think, man, I've got a personal testimony in Christ Jesus. I've got a personal, you know, I got a witness. I got to testify of the good things that he's done for me. Amen? I mean, he has blessed my wife and I. He has blessed us. Amen. We you know, kids, he's blessed us with good kids. He's blessed us with a house. Amen. I mean, praise God. I'm thankful for that. Praise God. Mike, you know, I'm so thankful for that. Praise God. Praise God. So how do we know him? How do we follow his commandments? You know, I quoted this last week. I'm going to try to get up on my feet here. Matthew 22:37. You know, and you don't have to go there, but I said this earlier. I said, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So please understand, it's important that you understand, you love God, you love people. Amen. That's out of this weekend. It was, you know, go back and catch that message. But you love God and you love people. So how do we follow God's commandments? We have to truly align ourselves. Our actions have to be aligned with our doing. Our actions have to correspond with not only just faith, but it's the faith to do things. It's you can't just follow a commandment in your head. You have to actually do something and I'll give you some examples here in a second. You know, so our actions have to be aligned with our doing. To align with his commandments, the one thing that I noticed early on in my life was that I had to have a heart change. And I preached a little bit on that the other day, but it was like to really begin to get truly saturated in God and the Holy Spirit, God had to deal with my heart. He had to deal with my heart. I believe two things. He deals with our heart and he deals with our speech. You know, to really understand God's commandments in our life, because, you know, see, our speech is a discipline. You know, you can change the way you speak. And, you know, can I tell you tonight that you can change even the things that are in your heart? Jeremiah, you know, it's interesting. Jeremiah 17:9. I was thinking about this passage before I came down. In Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. It says, who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all the hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to their actions they deserve. And, you know, so the heart, I mean, you know, here Jeremiah is saying it's one of the most deceitful things. But see, God changed my heart. I realized very quickly that when God moved me into an area of like following his commandments and seeing, you know, seeing what God had, it was that God was dealing with my heart. He was like, the things that maybe I said or the things that I did or maybe how I treated people, God was turning that around. He was like, you know, I don't know if anybody else went through this. Maybe this is a personal testimony tonight. But you know, how I treated people just alone. You know, I wouldn't give people the time or day. You know, just all about myself. You know, that's how I was when I was younger. Just whatever pleased me. Whatever, you know. And you know, to be honest with you, it's not that I sit here and think that I was a selfish person. But in reality, after I look back at the carnal side of who I was, man, I was very selfish. Well, you know, you're the captain of the football team. You help guys do this. You help guys do that. But, you know, it was always, I see this scripture, that God examines the heart. He looks at the motives of the heart. That's one of the things that he's doing. He's looking at the motives of our heart. Amen. But our actions, the biggest changes that we make a lot of times, I believe, to move into an area where we're obedient to the commandments of God, you know, to love the Lord your God. You know, there's other commandments, and I'm not going to get, you know, into just commandments tonight, but there are things that God wants us to follow. Why? It's because his ways are right. You know, honestly, it's because his ways are much better than our ways, the Bible says. Amen. His plan is much better than my plan for my life. So it's that I pursue and follow after the plan that he has for me, not the plan that I have necessarily for myself. He will give you the desires of your heart, amen, when your motives are pure and focused on him. Amen. Matthew, and Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 8. He says, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. That's a very serious statement. You know, that people honor me with their lips. They say they love me, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship is a farce. Now, you could sit here and talk about the kinds of worship. Giving is a type of worship. Raising your hands and honoring God is a type of worship. I mean, you know, their worship is a farce. These were the words of Jesus. So, you know, guys, listen, that's why. So when the music's playing, what do my wife and I do over here? We praise God because of who he is. And I always encourage people, praise God. Praise God because of who he is. You know, another transparent thing. Man, you can have stuff going on, and if you allow yourself to come into a place, put the right music on, put the right worship in, walk into a room, and even like tonight, and just allow yourself to enter into worship, everything that's just, you know, that maybe has happened that day will leave. It just leaves because you now have, you've moved to the place where you're not, I'm just worshiping God. No, I'm worshiping him with my whole heart, with my whole mind. He has all of me, amen? He has every piece of me. Every piece of me. You know, I'll say this too, because even with his commands, one of the things that we truly have to work on in walking things out with following his commands is our speech. We bring our speech under the discipline of faith. It was Pastor Gene Lingerfelt that said that, and he preached a 48 part series that I listened to. Zane and I listened to a lot of it, but I always it always meant, and it come from some others. I know Kenneth Hagin was his father in the faith to him, but Charlie Chaps, I think, was another. But you know, we bring our speech under the discipline of faith. What does that mean, Pastor? That basically it means that you know, death and life. You know, just so you understand, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That you know, even God said even at the very part of this, if you go back and you look at First John, and he says, and if we can be sure that we know him, if we obey his commandments, if someone claims I know God but doesn't obey his commandments, because you know people in speech, oh, I know God, they're talking, but their actions don't correspond. You know, they're pursuing, following his commands. So why is it important that we follow his commands? So that we're children of God, amen? So that we're walking in the light, amen? So that we're not walking in darkness, praise God. You know, I thought about this, you know, even around speech. You know, sometimes even things you hear, they're not worth relating. They're, there's just some things not worth relating. And I remember that, you know, for a time period, I would hear people, they would say, OMG. You guys, I don't even like using abbreviation, to be honest with you. It's a personal conviction for me. Like, I don't use that. And there was a time where I was watching people take God's name like that, you know, and they would, you know, listen, I'm not trying to be like all dogmatic, and I'm not trying to be religious. But see, for me, that was something that was like, it disturbed me. That, you know, people would be like, you know, just flippantly throw God's name around. You know, because listen, it was one of the things I got delivered from. I got delivered from, not that I ever had a foul mouth, but when I got saved, man, I found in the Word that, you know, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And I was like, ooh, ouch, 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 ouch. That's in the Bible. That's in the Word of God. That I shouldn't say this or I shouldn't do that. And I, you know, and please understand, there's got to be, you got to have, you know, this was my conviction. And if you have that conviction, great. God will help you with these types of things. But I would watch Christians use it very flippantly, and I was like, you know, I prayed for people that said that. I really did, like, man, I hope there's real conviction around that. And you know, it was interesting because, you know, even, you know, because people say, oh, we're just, they'll use the terminology, well, you know, we're just running off, you know, we're just running off religious devils and demons when we do that. And you know, and I read something this past week that Tiff Shuttlesworth said, and I'm telling you what, it was like, it jumped out off the paper. I actually wrote it down, and Tiff posted this on Facebook. He said, beware of those who try to make religious a bad word. It was a powerful statement. Because, you know, we're going after religion. We're going after the religious people. Guys, God's for the church. He's for the Baptist. He's for the Methodist. He's for the Pentecostals. He's for the Catholics. He's for people that believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, you know, it's not, we're not trying to get, you know, is there a religious spirit? Yes, there is. Not even to get into that, but he said this. He said, beware of those who try to make religion a bad word. Biblical religion is simply a belief in God that produces worship, holiness, and service. I thought, man, that's good. That's rich. That is so rich. And he says, the Bible tells us religion can be pure and undefiled. That's James 1:27. Those who attack religion are usually not pure and undefiled. And that was from Brother Tiff. I was like, man, that's a powerful statement. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about it. I was like, I seen something this week, and I remembered it. It was from Brother Tiff, and I wrote that down. But it's, you know, things that will take us away from doing what the Lord asks us to do is, you know, is getting around those kinds of things that defile us. You know, because, you know, I said it this weekend. I mean, you always have to put yourself on guard. You have to remain on guard as a believer and as a Christian because, man, you can slip into the wrong place as a believer, and especially a new believer, newly saved, step into the wrong environment, and next thing you know, you feel like, oh, wow, what just happened? I'm now in an environment that I used to be in, and then that becomes familiar. And that becomes familiar. And when you get into a familiar, you've got to hate the old things. You've got to be able to even push back anything that would allow your heart to be entrapped by thinking, oh, this is okay. Where you've grown as a believer and these things become distasteful to you, you've always got to be able to draw your line and say, nope, not going back. I have faith. I have risen above that. Not rise above, but I've risen above that. Take your Bibles. Go to 2 Peter. I don't want to show you this out of 2 Peter. See, many times I believe that once we get saved, once you're born again, you begin to know. Don't entertain sin. I mean, you've got it in your something in you. Sin that might have been pleasurable for a season, or sin that might have you know, come back around and raised its ugly head. You've got to detest it. You've got to say, no, I've conquered that, and you don't return to that. Don't return to something God's delivered you from. Don't go back in a direction. Don't go back in an area. You fight and you push, and you push as hard as you can against that stuff. Listen. You've come out, amen. There's a mindset. I'm choosing to follow Him. I'm choosing to do what the Word says. I'm choosing to obey, amen. My obedience is better than my sacrifice. I'm choosing to obey. 2 Peter 3:17. See, many times I believe it's that we know the right things. Amen. We know the things because, listen, the Holy Spirit will help you. You guys, you know that, right? The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll show you what things to avoid. You can drive your car down the road, and the Holy Spirit can tell you to go right and not left. Right? Yeah. The Holy Spirit can direct you and tell you to go a certain direction. He'll do that with your life. He'll show you where to go and not to go. 2 Peter 3:17, this is, Peter, he says, "You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of the wicked people and lose your own secure footing." You know, he's not talking about wicked demons or devils here. He's talking about wicked people. "You will not be carried away by the error of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing." So people will be there to try to trip you up. People along the path will be there to try to trip you up. Deception in this hour, it's in our government. Praise. I mean, you see it. You see deception at so many levels, and people trying to always trip people up. But you know the world's trying to trip up the church. We can't be naive to this. The world is trying to trip the church up. It's trying to get the church to stumble. It's trying to get the church to look a certain way. So we're not to be carried away. We got to stay on guard so you don't lose your footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen. How do we hold His commandments? How do we keep His commandments? We stay in a place of where we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, I said it earlier. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? Man, grace, just even that topic, grace, what grace does for you? It gives you the power to overcome sin. It gives, that's the grace of God. It gives you the power. It's God's grace that he's given me grace to win. He's given me grace that in any battle I can come out victorious. Amen. I believe that. I believe that for you. I believe that for the church. I believe that for the people of this house, that you're going to be victorious in Jesus' name. Because we grow in the grace. Amen. Can you know that you can grow in the grace of God? Why is John referring, if it was just that we just needed God and not people, it wouldn't say, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We would take people out of the equation. If it was just about loving God, we wouldn't need God's grace. But see, God's grace is sufficient, amen, and God's grace is upon us to be able to be that beacon of light for people. Hallelujah. It's God's grace. Amen. Don't we need God? I need God's grace. I need God's grace. We all need God's grace, amen. But listen, God's grace is not here for you to, "I messed up again, Lord, forgive me." It's the power. It's the power. God's given you the grace, the power to overcome. Amen. You become victorious in Jesus' name. The Bible says His grace is sufficient. Rather, that you must grow in the grace and knowledge. How do we keep His commandments? We grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. What's your reading plan look like? What's your prayer time look like? What's that look like in your life? These things are necessary to stay within the boundaries. To stay within the family of God. These things are necessary. Especially in this hour. Because this is a very critical hour for the church. And the things that we're seeing happen, across even America right now, it's pretty. We've got an election even this year, But I rejoice with my brothers that dropped me a call and said, how many we had? We had revival this past Sunday. We got to buy a bigger building. We're gonna go look at a Kmart building because more people are coming. Man, that's God's grace. Amen. That's God's grace. What are the things that we have to guard against? We have to guard against We have to guard against the apathy in our own lives. We have to guard against not becoming jaded. Pastor, I've heard 150 sermons. You have to guard against not being jaded to the things of God. You know, just another Wednesday, just another Sunday, just another life group night, just another meeting, just another that you've got to guard against not hardening your heart, becoming cynical. Not becoming cynical with God, but believing and putting God on every day. That, you know, God, you're so good. I love you, Father. You talk to Him. You know you can talk to Him that way. You can open your heart up to Him and tell Him how much you love Him, how much you care for Him every day. And you know what? He's there. He's listening. Amen. Those are the things that we have to guard against. God wants to heal us. In all things. Why does He need you healed? It's so that you can be a vessel for Him. Amen? It's hard for healed people to go out. It's hard for hurt people to go out and heal people. It's hard for sick people to go out and heal people because they get locked up. It's He wants you healed and He wants you whole to be that vessel for Him. It's ultimate plan. It's ultimate plan. It's kingdom. That, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're pulling it down in Jesus' name. What's going on up there can be going on down here. I believe, you believe, you got to see, there's something you got to believe, you got to just grab, you got to believe it. You got to, what exists there will exist here in my life. Amen. But we can't become cynical. We can't become hard-hearted. I'm praying for some hard-hearted people right now. Lord, I mean, literally, just praying. You know, because their life is in balance. Their lives are in balance. God got mad at church 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Got mad and just, you know, love God, but I just don't like anybody else. And I just like, how do you say that you love God, but you don't like anybody else? It's a dangerous doctrine. It's a dangerous place to be, according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, it's a very dangerous place to be. I'm not the final judge and jury. I can't tell you who makes it and who doesn't make it. You know, it's God is the ultimate, He's the ultimate judge and has the ultimate authority there. But that we can know. Listen, this is the key, and even I'm going to close tonight. This is the key, that we can know Him. We can know Him and be in relationship with Him. Just like I'm in relationship with my wife, I moved into a place where I got to know her, where I spent time with her. How do we learn God's commandments? We spend time with Him. We spend time in fellowship with Him. Amen? It's like what I said, you spend time fellowship with friends. I mean, you know, the women. When you guys when you had your first women's meeting, how many women did you have here? How many? 30, almost 30 women. Yeah, did the ladies enjoy that fellowship? Immensely, right? You enjoyed that. You enjoyed coming together, right? What's that doing? That glorifies our King. You know, because I'm sure some women were probably like, I just don't know if I want to go. You know, women deal with things a little differently than men because, you know, I don't have anything to wear. Guys are just like, I wore the shirt last night. I'll put it on, go to the men's meeting. It's all good. Spray some deodorant on. You know, women, I know it's very different. You know, my wife, I'll walk by and she'll be in the mirror and she'll be putting something on. I said, that looks, you know, don't say fine. That looks fine. I'm like, that looks fine. You know, that doesn't work anymore either. I just go by and I just nod half the time anymore because I like that shirt, you know. And it's just, you learn over the years. And you know, every once in a while, say, what do you think? You look awesome. You look great. Then she'll go to the closet and she'll change. And so it's like, why does it matter what I say? Why would it matter? But that, you know, it's the thing about being around people. You know, people come under attack when they're secluded, when they're isolated. You know, I was me. I there was a moment in time where, you know, when I lost family members, I could sit here and tell you that, you know, I still believed in Jesus, but, You know, and it wasn't that my heart got hard with God. It was just, you know, I allowed some things to get thrown at me, and I didn't fight. I didn't fight. There was some thoughts that I allowed to come in, and I didn't fight. You know, and that's the thing, and that goes back to the heart stuff, and it went back to the heart things for me. And you know, and for a very short time, you know, I didn't step away from God, but man, I really wasn't loving Him like I was. You know, He, you know, there He is though, His grace, His mercy. And you know, listen, I'm not giving anybody a reason, you know, or an excuse to go backwards. Don't go backwards. It's dumb. It's dumb to go backwards. It's to move yourself or back into a place where you once were is not smart. You keep advancing and you keep taking ground. You know, you may say, well, I feel like I've been in this place for a time period. No, you stand firm, you keep standing, and then you say, you get your marching orders and then you move forward. No, I'm going to another level. I'm going to higher ground in Jesus' name. Man, that's the walk of faith. I'm not dying on this mountain. I'm going to another one. Amen. I'm going to another level. And along the way, I tell you that if you know, the Bible says He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. So you maintain a lifestyle of seeking Jesus. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Who do you know? Can I tell you that most assignments though, they're going to involve people. God's going to send the right people into your life to give you answers. You know, that was the thing that. Hard head. You know, we were coming out of a ministry that was high power ministry. But that was many years of them, fathers that had prayed for them and you know, these young guys they'd been in the anointing a long time. I hadn't been. Our lives were very different when we went into ministry. And you know, I remember Steve Giswaldi, pastor from Pennsylvania, you know, or not Pennsylvania, from Canada. He's got a powerful church there. I mean, thousands, over 1,000 people now. I mean, just blew up. And he was young then, but I remember asking him, I said, Pastor Steve, I said, you know what? You know, I don't know what it means to be a pastor. You know, what is a pastor? And, you know, he just looks at me. And, you know, we had, you know, Brandon and I, when we were starting, you know, we were just asking questions all the time. What about this? What about that? You know, yeah. Because, you know, I didn't know. I had the right book, to be honest with you. But even at that, there were points that I'm like, is this, I don't know. But I had the right book. The keys, everything was in this book. Everything about pastoring is in this book. Now, it's great to have other resources. It's great to talk to other pastors, right? And I did. But I remember Pastor Steve saying to us, he said, man, he said, you know, he said, you're going to make it. Praise God. That's a great vote of confidence, Brother Steve. Thank you. You're going to make it. You know, he said, you know why? He said, because I trust the living God that called you into ministry. And I was like, oh, that's not necessarily the I want answers to my questions. No, I trust God, the one that's called you. Listen, I go back to say this and close out tonight because, listen, you have to trust and rely upon Him. You put your trust in Him. You rely upon Him. You may think, well, my situation, my circumstance, or I feel. No, you move back to a place where you trust and you rely upon Him. Where does your help come from? It comes from Him. And you know what? You rejoice and remain thankful when God sends somebody into your life to be a help. Time and time again, it would happen. He sent a great friend of mine that, you know, really is an accountability to my life is Austin Jones. He sent Austin to me, not to me, into our ministry at a time where I'm like, we need somebody to come and we need an evangelist. You know, we had Jonathan once a year, and it was great. We'd blow things up. But I was like, you know, we need somebody else. And in that first year in Hana, when we had Brother Austin there, it, you know, He was a pastor, though. You know, he was a pastor in a village, but he carried an evangelist anointing, very prophetic, amen. And you know, it's just, now he's a lifelong friend, but it's, but you know, it's, God will do that. He'll send people into your life. He'll send people to help. You know, you might think even the smallest of things sometimes. The smallest of things. Even the smallest of things, God can send somebody to give you a word, confirmation, something that causes things to shift. Amen. Growing in your intimacy. You gotta, you know, grow the time you spend with Him. You know, as a believer, you don't have to leave Him. It's not like you go put you on. You put Christ on every day. It's not, you don't, I'm going to be me today, you know. No, I'm going to be Christ. I'm going to be like Christ. You can be that way. You can live that way. You can be mindful. You can be mindful. I'm putting Christ on. You know, what helps me put Christ on every day is prayer. It start my day off with prayer. It's a reminder that I'm putting Him on every day. You know, it's ultimately devotion. And, you know, there are things that we've learned through KC, and it's been a blessing. And we, in return, are trying to teach some of the things we've learned. It's been good. We've learned things from Brother Jonathan. We love being around great men of God. So it's been blessing. Amen. I don't have anything. Mary, do you have anything? Praise God. Couldn't tell you how this went tonight. But go back and read 1 John 2. I mean, it's powerful. It's powerful. But obedience is better than sacrifice.